Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. A man who officials believe was a top assassin for El Chapo has been arrested in Mexico. Nestor Perez Salas was arrested by national security forces, and authorities are now looking to extradite him to the United States, where he's been wanted for nearly 3 years. Salas was also allegedly head of security for four of El Chapo's sons. President Biden has praised the arrest as a result of bravery and cooperation between the U.S. and Mexico. There's been a delay, but it looks like the hostages will be released early tomorrow morning.
A four-day ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and Hamas will begin tomorrow morning, a day later than originally announced, as negotiators worked out final details of the deal, which is leading to the release of dozens of hostages held by militants and Palestinians imprisoned by Israel. The deal appearing to hit a last-minute snag when Israel's National Security Advisor announced a one-day delay late Wednesday without providing a reason. I'm Corey Myers.
The United States says its military forces were attacked four times in Iraq and Syria on Thursday. Reuters reported both U.S. and international forces were attacked with rockets and armed drones at multiple sites in both countries. There are no reported casualties. Americans view crime as a problem.
Nearly two-thirds of the nation views crime as a significant concern. That's according to a recent Gallup poll. 63% of respondents indicated that crime is an extremely or very serious issue, although only 17% labeled crime as extremely serious in their local communities. Over half stated they have observed an increase in crime in their areas. I'm John Schaefer.
President Biden will be a part of the tree lighting ceremony on Main Street in Nantucket tomorrow. This is USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
NYPD says the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade proceeded as normal despite protests at various points of the parade route. A number of protesters were arrested, but police did not provide details. Police said the parade route did not have to be diverted, and all protesters were cleared by 11 a.m. Eastern Time. In a case that stemmed from a federal lawsuit filed more than a decade ago, an Illinois jury has found that several major egg producers conspired to raise prices by limiting the egg supply. Major food manufacturers, including the Kellogg Company and Kraft Foods, allege that egg producers used various ways to limit the nation's supply of eggs during the early 2000s. Damages in the lawsuit will be decided next week. A state of emergency in Kentucky this morning after a train derailment caused a chemical spill. At least two cars spilled sulfur. Governor Andy Beshear said that people in the small town of Livingston had been encouraged to evacuate.
The governor of Kentucky declares a state of emergency after a freight train derails in Rockcastle County and there's a chemical spill and fire. This happening about an hour from Lexington, 16 train cars involved.
So far, the one crew member has been treated for minor injuries at the scene. A spike in air travel numbers this Thanksgiving holiday could be record-breaking. The TSA says nearly 3 million people are expected to fly home on Sunday. Dave Collins, USA News.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, "Hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life?" And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, welcome. Great to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez, and we're going to talk about probably one of the longest running conspiracies and questions that America has had. Certainly in my lifetime, I could say, is that people have wondered who killed JFK, right? And here we are, another anniversary that we're coming upon, and we're going to be talking with Mark Shaw. Mark has been so involved for at least a decade and a half in researching what happened with Marilyn Monroe, JFK, Dorothy Kilgallen, murder mysteries resolved per new evidence that he cites in his latest book, Collateral Damage. Mark, of course, is the best-selling author of The Reporter Who Knew Too Much. And we welcome Mark Shaw to the show. Markham, good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you, Bill. Good to see you again.
Well, it's been a while since we talked, and you started sending me emails here, and I said, okay, we gotta have you on, and here it is. Perfect timing, a November anniversary and the assassination of JFK, and so here we are.
Yes, and it's interesting because I'm going to start the show with an apology, which is not something I don't think I've ever done too much, Bill, but the new evidence that I'm going to explain and the journey as to how I got there is evidence that I should have found, and I did not. What we're going to talk about is certain proof that the corruption at the Warren Commission, when it investigated JFK's death in 1963 and 1964, we're going to be able to show that back then, there were two senators, Senator John Sherman Cooper of Kentucky, Republican, and Senator Richard Russell of Georgia, Democrat, who absolutely demanded a dissent in the final report of the Warren Commission, stating that they did not believe in the silver bullet theory. They did not believe it was Oswald alone. And they had an executive meeting about that I will talk about. And we will see how that particular information and what the senators demanded was never in the final report and what a difference it would have made. But I missed all that when I was doing some of my investigation. This all started, I think you remember, way back when I was working on a biography of this man, Melvin Belli. Mm-hmm. And you remember him. He was a flamboyant San Francisco attorney. I practiced law with him, actually, in the 1980s. I got to know him very well. He was quite a character, married six times. Mm-hmm. He represented people like Errol Flynn and the Rolling Stones and Tammy Faye Baker. And what really perked my interest in Belli and how he might have been involved with some of the, some of the situations with the JFK assassination is when I learned about that his main client at the time was Mickey Cohen. Mm. And you may remember him,
Bill,
He was a Los Angeles gangster, a cutthroat type of guy, and heavily involved with the mob. I also found out that Bill, I love to say that he was affiliated with the mafia. It kind of made him look like a big guy and stuff. In fact, you'll get a kick out of this. He used to go to Las Vegas and hang around with those guys. And Belli was such a character. He would first thing he did when he got to hotel was have them page Melvin Belli, Melvin Belli, Melvin Belli, so everybody would know he was there.
His own promoter. I love it. That's great. Yeah.
I want to tell you right now of the new evidence that I found and then what the journey is from there on.
Right.
It's amazing that I can't even believe this sometimes, but my publisher has told me that interviews and presentations I've given at various venues across the country have been watched on YouTube by more than 11 million people.
Right.
And what happens, and it will happen with your show today too, is that there will be somebody watching your show today who says, wait a minute, I knew about Dorothy Kilgallen. I knew about this. I know something about the JFK assassination. It's kind of called crowdsourcing, where people will then get in touch with me.
Right.
Well, last July, a man called me, and he sent an email. He said, Mr. Shaw, my name is Morris Wolfe, and I just watched a presentation of yours at the Allen Library near Dallas on a collateral damage. And I noticed the name Dorothy Kilgallen. And, of course, my ears perk up because that's a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, right.
So he said, call me. So I called him. And Mr. Morris, I wish I could have recorded it. So we'd have him on the show today. But at that particular point, all I could do was write as fast as I could on a yellow pad.
Yeah.
And what he told me was interesting. I think your viewers will be most interested in this because he was an amazing man. His health is not quite as good as it used to be, but he's sharp as can be still.
Right.
He said, I graduated from law school at Yale. My professor suggested I go to work for Bobby Kennedy. And so they made the connection. I went in to see Bobby Kennedy. And the first thing he told me about Bobby Kennedy, you know how it is when you're looking for corroboration of somebody's story. You look at the details they give you. He said, I walked into his office. There he was sitting there, his shirt sleeve rolled up like this, his tie undone, no jacket, kind of sitting there like he was at the
beach. That was kind of typical Bobby Kennedy, by the way.
It was, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yes.
And so when he told me that, JFK was much more formal, but Bobby was always looked like he was ready to go play golf or something. Hmm. So anyway, he said, I work for Bobby Kennedy, and he said, I'm honored to say that I helped write the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Wow.
And I worked on Title II. That was when we decided we could use the Commerce Clause of people crossing state lines who were being prejudiced. They couldn't, minorities couldn't stay at the Howard Johnson's or eat at one of the restaurants or whatever. So that's what we did, and we got that passed. And one of the senators helped was a man named John Sherman Cooper of Kentucky, and I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. He said, sure, before I do that, though, let me tell you how much the Kennedys trusted me. On my bicycle, I rode from the White House to the Attorney General's office with an envelope in my hands that contained secret documents. I got high security clearance, and I took it back and forth. And
on a bicycle?
On a bicycle, 8 blocks.
Oh, God.
And he said, you know why that was needed? And I said, no, he said, because both Kennedys knew that J. Edgar Hoover was tapping their phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Bill, that's at the highest echelon of government, and I don't think anybody knows that. It's disgusting in a lot of ways, but Hoover,
This is what he was known for. He was known for those files and all the information that he would fill with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Protect himself. That's why he lasted so long.
Right.
Exactly. Good observation. So he said, okay, well, I work for John Sherman Cooper. And by the way, Mark, I used to go to parties at his house at 29th and N Street in Georgetown. And they asked me to come because I was a bachelor and there were a couple of important women who needed somebody to talk to. Jackie was there. JFK was there because JFK was a very close friend of John Sherman Cooper's. And I've been able to put in Fighting for Justice photographs of JFK and his wife or John Sherman Cooper and his wife at the White House. I found out that Jackie Kennedy called Cooper like a grandfather. He was like an Abe Lincoln type with all of his credibility and all that. So he said, I used to go to these dinners, and guess what, Mr. Shaw? I sat right next to Dorothy Kilgallen.
Wow.
Well, I mean, what are the chances of something like that happening? And I don't know how this stuff all ends up with me anyways, but I said, what? He said, yeah, I would describe her as a bright light bulb. That's his quote. And in fact, while she was eating her Caesar salad, she was interrogating me about what Senator Cooper was doing and all that.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. The Middle East is an area of high religious persecution. This makes evangelism especially tricky, as many people in the region openly oppose Christianity. The Tide Ministry is pleased to provide gospel programming through the first and only Arabic Christian channel dedicated exclusively to children and young people. Sat7 Kids, a far-reaching Arabic television channel, introduces children to the gospel during their crucial early years. Their safe and positive gospel-centered programming reaches at least 5 million Arabic-speaking children. The Tide programs aired on Sat7 Kids are helping to transform the Middle East by urging the next generation to positively influence society by following Jesus. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people in the Middle East and beyond whose lives are being impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
We're talking Mark Shaw. his book, Collateral Damage, and he's revealing, you know, some new information, but we're getting the whole backstory as it's all coming together. And I appreciate you taking the time here, Mark, and pulling this together so that we can, you know, understand. I think there's still so much more to be understood about what happened with the JFK assassination. You and I and millions of people around the world were disappointed when President Trump, he was supposed to release all of the information regarding the JFK because it was sealed until a specific time. That due date had come. It had expired. He released about 50%, and something stopped him, Mark. And I don't know specifically, but something stopped him from releasing what another 50% still millions of documents remaining regarding the JFK assassination, right?
Yes, and, you know, Biden hasn't released all of it either, so it's a two-way story there.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do to give some context to all of this, go back to when the JFK assassination happened. All right, and we'll talk about Dorothy Kilgallen and her reaction and her investigation for 18 months. But you've got to, I want to get into the mind of J. Edgar Hoover, because JFK is dead. And I think Dorothy knew through her investigation that Hoover said to himself, oh, wait a minute, they're going to blame this on me. They're going to blame this on the FBI. We should have stopped this from happening. Mm-hmm. So if you buy that, and I think it makes common sense, what is he going to do? He's going into protect mode. The first thing he did was to confiscate all of the Dallas Police Department files on the assassination. And Dorothy Kilgallen found that out when she interviewed the police chief, Jess Curry. We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So he confiscates those and he sends them off to the bureau in Washington, D.C., because the Dallas Police Department wanted to go ahead and investigate. He didn't want that to happen.
Well, it was their purview, wasn't it? I mean, it should have been investigated by the Dallas police.
Well, yeah, and you're going to just be shocked at this next thing. The next thing he did was he stole JFK's body. He basically stole it at the hospital at Parkland. Mm-hmm. And before they could do any autopsy there, he shipped it off to Washington, D.C., where they did the autopsy. In fact, Cyril Weck, who would be a great guest for you, the forensic scientist,
right,
told me he has examined the autopsy and all that. The worst one he's ever seen in 60,000 of them he's seen.
Wow.
So they do that, so there's no autopsy. So he's now, you know, and all at the same time he's shouting, Oswald alone to the world. So he's controlling things. He tells the Justice Department, we must convince the American people that that Oswald acted alone and with no one else. So he's sealing off all the loose ends here. And then what does he do? Well, he decides that, wait a minute, I hear the Congress is going to investigate the JFK assassination. I hear that the Texas Attorney General is going to investigate, and I have proof of that happening. Mm-hmm. Well, he talks it over with his buddy LBJ, and they say that we can't let that happen. And the excuse that he uses for going ahead with a federal investigation, get this, is that the JFK assassination is not a state crime. And obviously it was.
Yes.
But he doesn't want it investigated there. So what do they do next? They get together, they say, well, we need a commission to look into this. Let's put together a group of people. We'll get Earl Warren, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. That'll give it validity. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start putting people on the commission. And you got to remember, Dorothy Kilgallen is now on the job back there, as we will talk about.
Right.
After she learned of JFK's death. So she's watching all this happen. And the one that really stuck out with me, and your viewers will really be interested because we're going to refer to this photo a couple times. This is the Warren Commission here, right here.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what does he do? Well, the first one that stuck out for me was he appointed Alan Dulles. Well, if you know, Alan Dulles was a former CIA director who had been fired by JFK 2 years earlier. What in the world is he doing? And we'll explain why he was on there. Investigating JFK's death, who he hated, in fact. He didn't care for him at all. Second, of course, LBJ is on there, and so as the president. Then we go to Gerry Ford. And there are audio tapes. You know, I do my research. There's audio tapes out there at the National Archives that indicate the conversations that LBJ and Hoover had about who to put on the commission. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll put Dulles on there because we know we can control him, and he'll protect the CIA.
Right.
Let's put Gary Ford on there, and to use one of the cliches, LBJ says to Hoover, well, you know, he can't think and chew gum at the same time. So we know we can control him.
Right.
All right. So then they put on a couple other people. They put on Hale Boggs, who they think they can represent, they think they can control, from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And then they made two mistakes. But nobody ever picked up on the two mistakes until I got all this new information through Morris Wolf and Dorothy. John Sherman Cooper, the Republican from Kentucky, mm-hmm. and Richard Russell from Georgia. So Dorothy then, is knowledgeable of all this. She's quizzical about it. She writes these columns that we'll talk about, Oswald file must not close, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the members, Cooper and Russell, are starting to object to what's going on with the assassination investigation. In fact, I have a letter that Cooper wrote in early December to LBJ. I want to resign from the Warren Commission. I can't feel like I'm doing my job if I'm not even invited when some of the witnesses are going to appear, like Lee Harvey Oswald's brother.
You're kidding. They were eliminated from.
Yeah, they did, because Hoover is figuring out he can't control Cooper and Russell. So he didn't send the letter. He decided that LBJ talked him into not doing so. But the first document that I found was on December 5th, 1963. It's a United States Senate memorandum that Russell wrote to LBJ. Mm-hmm. Something strange is happening. Warren and Katzenbach, and by the way, that's Nicholas Katzenbach, who was the acting attorney general. They put him as an advisor to the commission to protect the Kennedys. They didn't want to know about the fixing the 60 election. They didn't want to know about what I have proven, that Bobby Kennedy was involved in Marilyn Monroe's death. So they got Katzenbach on there.
Right.
And the FBI, and they are apparently, and others, planning to show only one even considered to kill JFK. That is Lee Harvey Oswald. So that's the first indication on a document that I found. But then it gets much worse, because you're going to hear about documents being destroyed, committee meetings not being recorded, and the first one was September 18th, 1964, this document from Senator Richard Russell's oral history at the University of Georgia. And here's what it says. Richard Russell forced a final executive session. Now, this is 6 days before the final report is issued, Bill.
Right.
Richard Russell forced a final executive session of the Warren Commission. His main agenda was to present his prepared dissent document and refuse to sign the commission report unless the dissent was included. After presenting his concerns, Russell was joined in dissent by Senator John Sherman Cooper and, to a lesser extent, Representative Boggs. In an oral history conducted late in his life, Senator Cooper recalled that Russell's well-seasoned opinion had great influence on Cooper's own conclusion. Like Russell, Cooper was very impressed by the strong and compelling testimony of Governor Connally, and thus was willing to follow Russell's lead in rejecting the single bullet theory and the Oswald alone theory.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these two gentlemen who organize, especially Russell, this executive committee meeting where they talk about this dissent. Mm-hmm. And what comes out of that meeting is LBJ and Hoover promising these two senators that the dissent will be in there. I want to talk about the implications if it would have been in there in a little bit.
Hang on one second. Let me ask you real quick. So even Connally didn't believe ultimately with the Warren Commission's report.
What they're saying in here is that the testimony by Connally mm-hmm. let them believe that it didn't make sense, the single bullet theory. And also, it may have gone as far as the whole Oswald alone thing. You know, Connally was always kind of suspect of all that. He wasn't, you know, he didn't sound like he was all in on that single bullet theory, which has been perpetuated forever and destroyed by a lot of scientific investigations and everything.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA News Update. A man who officials believe was a top assassin for El Chapo has been arrested in Mexico. Nestor Perez Salas was arrested by national security forces, and authorities are now looking to extradite him to the United States, where he's been wanted for nearly 3 years. President Biden has praised the arrest as a result of bravery and cooperation between the U.S. and Mexico. There's been a delay, but it looks like the hostages will be released early tomorrow morning.
A 4-day ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and Hamas will begin tomorrow morning, a day later than originally announced, as negotiators worked out final details of the deal, which is leading to the release of dozens of hostages held by militants and Palestinians imprisoned by Israel.
President Biden will be a part of the tree lighting ceremony in Nantucket tomorrow. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Speaks of the power of, you know, of the government. I mean, because the government has all these media entities under control. Radio, you know, as far as the radio concerned, you know, with the FCC, you know, could, you know, tighten down the screws pretty quick. And yeah. And then other governmental agencies to put pressure on the newspaper, you know, profession as well.
Well, one of the relevances here is what happened back then happens today. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people, why do we worry about this? Well, there should have been more questions asked about the JFK assassination, exactly. Just as there are today. Don't right. accept anything, left or right or middle or whatever it is. Do your own research. Check into right. things. You know, you can't trust anything because you're right and landing on the media. Back then, all of the newspapers, the television, all this, they all bought the Oswald alone theory. In fact, I found where CBS did a three-part program. People can look at it on the Internet. Mm-hmm. Bringing in Cronkite, Rather, who are the other big, Morley Safer, mm-hmm. All their big guns, and they did all these experiments on how many bullets and everything
right.
else.
Right, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and they came back with, hey, the Warren Commission got it right. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And it happens today. You know, every once in a while I'll hear, and I did yesterday about a radio show in Dallas that's coming out with a three-part series this week. That just basically is still Oswald alone. I mean, they haven't done their research whatsoever. But you have to think about this. Okay, what's happened here? LBJ and Hoover have buttoned up the holes about anything other than the Oswald alone theory. They've done that. Now,
by the way, he qualified as a marksman, which is barely qualifying in the Marine Corps. I know, and personally, and then with a $29, rifle. And I don't care. I mean, even though he's in a kill zone, and the limousine slowed down, that's still the chances of executing those shots. I mean, what are the odds, Mark?
Yeah, that's for sure. And Dorothy, we're going to talk about when she interviewed Jess Curry, the Dallas Police Department police chief, when she went out to investigate and everything, and in Daly Plaza and all that. He told her the shots. He sent his officers to the overpass. So there's all of that. But let's look at the media back then, because they're all buying this Oswald alone conclusion. If you believe my research, here's what I believe happened. First of all, Melvin Belli was on call. I have a witness who was right there with him when a waiter came up and said, you'll never guess what happened. Some guy named Ruby just shot Oswald. And Belli said, well, now I'll have to defend Ruby. So I think he knew about the assassination before it happens. Mm-hmm. They then go ahead and Ruby kills Oswald. That shuts Oswald's, Ruby shoots Oswald. That closes Oswald's mouth. Another loose end. Now Belli uses a psychomotor epilepsy insanity defense that nobody, including Dorothy and the jury, believe, because it makes Ruby look crazy.
Yes.
So now all of these holes have been filled up and everything. But there's one problem out there. All the media is going along with J. Edgar Hoover, but there's one problem, and her name is Dorothy Kilgallen. Because I want to tell you just quickly how she got involved in the JFK assassination and why.
Exactly.
They were close friends in New York City. He used to go to her home, and I have proof of this, playing charades. They met at different restaurants in New York City. Mm-hmm. And then he invited her to the White House. And she brought along her 3-year-old son, Kerry, who was the love of her life. And they went to the White House, and Pierre Salinger set it up for a meeting in the library, and Dorothy and Kerry are there. And here comes the President of the United States, and he shakes Kerry's hand. Mm. And Kerry had brought letters from his third-grade class.
Oh, wow.
And JFK makes a big fuss over there, gives him a PT-109 pin, all of this. And you can just imagine how honored Dorothy was and how much that...
Sure.
What's that meant to him? Mm-hmm. So, in fact, the very first column after she cried about JFK's death, her friend's death, it said something like, what I remember is a tall man stooping over a little boy, making a fuss over the letters he brought from his third grade class. This is the man who was killed in Dallas. Wow. So you see, it was personal. Now, you have to go back with Dorothy a little bit. Not only was she the star on What's My Line, the CBS show, for 10 years, she had a radio show, and that was watched by 10 million people every Sunday night. Mm-hmm. She had a radio show listened to by a million people a day.
Exactly.
She investigated the Dr. Sam Shepard case, which became The Fugitive, the Charles Lindbergh baby kidnapping case, all of the big cases at the time. So she was a very Ethel Bailey, who I practiced law with a little bit in the 90s, said mm-hmm. She was one of the best criminal trial journalists I ever saw, one of the best, and she was. So now she's going to get involved on a personal basis. She goes to Dallas. I always like to say right now, there's so many so-called experts out there who have written books, spoke about this. They're doing it right now in conferences some places in the country. Mm-hmm. They were not there when the JFK assassination happened. You weren't. I wasn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I've been able to use Dorothy's evidence and her investigation because she shared it with me in some ways, and I could find it, especially like through Morris Wolfe and others.
Right. Exactly.
So anyway, she goes to Dallas and she starts in, and the first thing that she does is she goes to the Jack Ruby trial, and she listens to the testimony, and you remember that he had said that he just happened by the Dallas Police Department. Went inside, and there happened to be Oswald. Well, she found out from the testimony of a parking garage guy from across the Carousel Club that Ruby came in the day before he shot Oswald. On the phone, he heard Ruby say he would be there when Oswald would be transferred. He'd make like a reporter to get into the basement, and he would use his police friends to help him. Dorothy later wrote a column about all of the police friends that Ruby had, including those that were We're a comped at his carousel club and all that.
Exactly.
Right. All that. And mm-hmm. so right away she knows that Ruby's not telling the truth about what happened there, as many exactly. people wondered about too.
Right.
So she's got that information, and it really concerned her. So what does she do? She's at the Ruby trial. Her first column was about Ruby and how he would prance across the courtroom, and here was a guy who nobody ever knew about, and now he was a star. I think it said, Ruby Stars at Last was the name of the column.
Right.
Because he wasn't unknown. He was a Ooh. Mafia wannabe, all this, and now he's a star. So then it just out of the blue, Belli's co-counsel Joe Tannehill and I have this information in this interview up on the DorothyKilgallenStory.org that people can learn more about Dorothy and all the things I'm saying. Tannehill says to Dorothy, Jack Ruby would like to talk to you. There were 400 reporters at that trial. She will be the only one who interviewed Ruby there.
Wow.
So you can see her in the courtroom with her files against her chest. They meet behind, and this is proven, behind a railing separating the spectators from the counsel tables. They talk for about 8 to 10 minutes, as she tells people at that time. Now, you're going to say to me, wait a minute, Mark, right now you got to tell me and my viewers and listeners what he told her.
Right, so exactly.
I'll explain to you why I can't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you'll understand. So what did she do with that information? We don't know exactly what she said, as I'll tell you, but what did she do? The first thing that Dorothy did was go to New Orleans to investigate Carlos Marcello. She was
exactly.
so smart. You know, I used to, with my criminal cases, with all my murder cases, you always look at motive. You got to look at motive. Well, who has the greatest motive to silence JFK? And that has to be, in her mind, Carlos Marcello. So she goes to New Orleans. She takes a kind of a beefy hairdresser with her to protect her because now she knows she's kind of in danger because Hoover obviously is looking over her shoulder with these Oswald Alone columns and other things she's doing. He knows she's talking to Jesse Curry. So she's starting to get scared. She takes this guy with her, and they're about halfway through, and she gets a phone call, and she tells the hairdresser, go to the airport, get on a flight right now, go back to New York City, and don't ask me any questions. She stays a bit longer, and we believe from what he told us, what he did in an interview and other things, that she had connected Oswald, Ruby, and Carlos Marcello. She goes back to New York City, and we can talk about Marilyn's death in a little while, but she does the same thing that same mistake that Marilyn made.
Now, we're going to have, just heads up, Mark, we've got about 11 minutes left here, so just in terms of pacing, so go ahead.
Thanks. Let's move on.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life? And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A+ BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances,
heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Maryland, they were blabbermouth. Marilyn talked about what Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy told her, going to the press with it, and that's what led to her death. Dorothy goes back. She says, I'm going to crack the JFK assassination investigation wide open. And then her hairdresser says, you better be careful. And she says, I'm afraid for my life and my family. I bought a gun. If the wrong people knew what I know about the assassination, it would cost me my life.
Wow.
And Dorothy Kilgallen, without going into details, on November 8, 1965, she's found dead in a bedroom she never slept in, wearing her eyelashes, her hairpiece, and her makeup, wearing clothes she never wore to bed. There's a book on her lap, upside down. Anybody with any sense will tell you that's a staged death.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Can you say it? Staged, yes.
Right. So the medical examiner comes later in the afternoon with the police. But before that, the reason I can't tell you what Jack Ruby told Dorothy Kilgallen is that, according to the butler, and his daughter confirmed this, just after Dorothy's body is found, the FBI raids her apartment. They come rushing into the apartment. They go up to her office on the fifth floor, and they confiscate all of her files and documents about the assassination and about a book, a manuscript, that she's writing, a tell-all book about the assassination. So what happens? The medical examiner sees an empty Seconal bottle by her bed and believes, okay, this is another celebrity who overdosed. The conclusion they come up with is she died of an overdose of barbiturates, circumstances undetermined. Now, I have since interviewed Dr. Michael Bodden, who you know that is, who had a radio show in New York, and I asked him about that because I said, Dr. Bodden, you signed the autopsy. He said, no, I didn't. I said, it's right here. I said, Was that the conclusion? Overdose of drugs, circumstances undetermined? And he said, well, we didn't really know how she died. It was suspect, but we didn't really, so that was a bunch of bull as well.
Right.
So what happened was that We're able in the books, starting with a reporter who knew too much. I'm not going to go ahead and get into it. We don't have time, and that's okay. I can show you exactly how Dorothy Callan died. But believe me when I say, when they did a little review of her bodily fluids a couple of years later, two toxicologists found three barbiturates in her system, phenobarbital, Tylenol, and Seconal, a lethal dose of barbiturates. That's what killed her. And when people say to me, why do we need to pay attention to Dorothy Kilgallen and her research? I say, because they killed her.
Right.
So she couldn't write that book for Random House.
Yeah. Wow. Well, in these last 8 minutes, let's, if you can, Mark, let's unfold the RFK Marilyn Monroe story.
Yeah. Well, collateral damage, you know, wasn't supposed to happen. I was going to quit with the reporter who knew too much.
Mm-hmm.
Then I found the Ruby trial transcripts, and I wrote Denial of Justice. Then I was going to quit. But I never bought Marilyn Monroe, you know, committing suicide. And I found a column by Dorothy 2 days before Marilyn died. Dorothy is on the upswing. She's going to Marilyn's on the upswing. She's going to Hollywood parties.
Right.
She has a love now in her life, a bigger name than Joe DiMaggio, who she was married to, the baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
She's got Broadway offers to play in New York. She's got movie offers, all this. So once I saw that and I found out that Dorothy and Marilyn were good friends, I thought, wait a minute, that does not sound like a woman who would have been suicidal.
Suicidal, yeah, exactly.
And that was the determination. The front page is Marilyn Monroe commits suicide. No investigation there, by the way. So anyway, I started looking into that, and I decided that, you know, who did Marilyn Monroe have any love affairs with before she died? Who else could have silenced her? Well, first I looked at JFK because they had a very short relationship. You might remember she sang Happy Birthday to him.
Right.
In Madison Square Garden in that see-through outfit. We'll never forget that. But that was short-lived. And then I thought about Bobby Kennedy. And I was able to find through my documentation at the National Archives and through witnesses who were there that Bobby Kennedy was concerned, and so was JFK. Marilyn Monroe was going to talk to the media about matters of national security that JFK and Bobby had told her, including JFK's setting up the assassination of Castro. And I have a CIA document that proves that.
Right.
Well, they obviously couldn't let her do that. So I thought Bobby Kennedy is the one who could have been involved here. The document also said that he had a torrid love affair with her in early 1962. So I knew that. I proved that he was in Los Angeles the night before when Marilyn died. And so I was able to piece that together in terms of Bobby Kennedy having been complicit in Marilyn Monroe's death. And only one more point about that. If Bobby Kennedy would have been prosecuted for being complicit in Marilyn Monroe's death, based on all the evidence that I have and others have, there would have never been a JFK assassination because he would have had to resign as Attorney General.
Right.
Which means that, of course, there would never have been a death of Dorothy Kilgallen because she wouldn't have had to investigate a JFK assassination because there wouldn't have been one. So I've been able to link those three deaths, and I just want to say, finally, none of them got the justice they deserved. Certainly, JFK did not get the thorough investigation he should have had. Marilyn certainly didn't, and Dorothy didn't. And that's just sad. It really is sad. And on the 60th anniversary, we need to think about JFK and the positives and all the things he could have possibly done, getting us out of Vietnam, saving us from a nuclear war with a missile crisis, civil rights, all of that. But we'll never know because he was killed.
Yeah, it wasn't so much that, he was holding back the forces to get us involved in Vietnam. And it was, of course, it was LBJ who immediately, when he took over as president, next thing you know, we're sending thousands of American young men and women to Vietnam.
Yeah, you know, somebody mentioned that yesterday, and I guess that wasn't my recollection. I thought we were more involved, but LBJ was the
He was listening because what happened was, you might recall, Eisenhower had warned JFK about Vietnam. He says, this is going to be a huge problem. You got to be careful. And he also mentioned at that time, yeah, I think it was one of the first times we heard about the industrial military complex.
Oh, yeah.
That he said that they were going to really drive this issue and he needed to be mindful of it. So through, you know, out his presidency, he was able to hold back the forces. And, you know, and there's, of course, some story there that that was another potential reason for why JFK had to be taken out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that, too. And it makes sense. But the whole cover up of the Warren Commission, see, none of that this was ever investigated.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like all of the research out there, researchers out there should be very upset. And now go back into the commission and look into it even more. There's got to be more information out there. I'm not that smart a guy. It's out there. So really ask the questions and find out even more than I found.
Well, it's kind of like trying to figure out all the shell companies that the Biden family has hiding foreign money. I mean, these guys operate at a level. The deep state operates at a level of their own control, and they know how to protect themselves. And if we'll ever, you know, get the whole truth and nothing but, God only knows. But this is the problem with the truth that is quite bothersome for people who lie, is the truth eventually finds a way out, doesn't it?
I do want to deny that I have any assets hidden in Swiss banks, okay? That's not anything I'm denying.
There was no reference to you, Mark.
I don't want any congressional investigations of me, that's for sure.
Right, exactly. So in terms of this new evidence that has been coming, of course, you know, you've been pulling on strings of evidence, you know, for over 15 years now, as you cite. And, you know, some, I'm sure, have taken you to rabbit holes. Others have been quite provocative in starting to put this more and more together. So we've got 2 minutes left. I'm going to let you kind of summarize, you know, your recent findings, where we are today on, you know, the 60th anniversary of the assassination of JFK.
Well, what I want to do, too, is let people know it's markshawbooks.com. That's my website. And I answer every single email that comes to me because I'm always worried that I won't get something, for instance, not answering Morris Wolf.
Yes.
So it's mmshawin@yahoo.com. I think there's another connection here with Marilyn, Dorothy, and JFK's death, and I think that's the death of Robert F. Kennedy in 1968.
I was going to ask you about that.
I'm not going to go into that today because we don't have time, but it has to do with motive. And you might just think in your mind, who had the greatest motive to have Robert Kennedy killed? Well, just think about Carlos Marcello for a minute.
I was going to say, well, didn't Robert Kennedy, wasn't that Robert Kennedy's first statement when they told him that his brother was, he goes, it's Carlos Marcello.
The guy from New Orleans.
Right.
Now Marcello knows that Robert Kennedy is running for president. If he becomes president, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to come after me, Carlos Marcello. I haven't been able to put the links together yet, but I'm going to work on it. And maybe one of these days, you know, I'll come up with enough information we can talk again. How about you?
Well, always look forward to talking with you, Mark. You're always welcome on the show. Again, remind everybody of the website so they can get their hands on your book. And as you say, this opportunity, what we've shared with them, hopefully motivates them to, you know, do a deeper dive. Find out for yourself. Own your own knowledge, as we're fond of saying here on this show. So, again, the website they can go to?
MarkShaw.com, and then the email mshawin@yahoo.com. And Fighting for Justice, I think the way it's written and Morris Wolf's photograph and everything is in there, I think that will really shock you because there's even a little bit more than I was able to talk about today. Yes.
Exactly. Well, Mark Shaw, again, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Godspeed, my friend. Take care.
You too. You're a good man, Bill.
Thank you. Again, our thanks to Mark Shaw and our thanks to you for joining us today. For more information on the show, to be a part of this mighty movement to return to God, check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. May God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and give you peace. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime.
You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.